Hey, everybody. Welcome to Conversation of Romance on a Monday night. Little George Jones going in the background. I don't know why. I'm feeling like an old man tonight. Might as well throw some George in there, right, everybody? Yeah, everybody. Well, speaking of white light, I got some brown light in my cup. A little wild turkey never hurt anybody. Just pretend like it's Thanksgiving, huh? Hello, Missy. Kathy, Barb, we got a few people in the audience tonight. Nobody, no guests, though, so I'm not going to be able to pick on anybody. Hello, Erica. How are you doing, lady? Thanks for that's all I see the names of. I think there was a Debbie in there somewhere, but I couldn't tell if she was doing me or Dallas. I don't know. I know. Bad joke. Bad joke indeed, right? If you don't like bad jokes, this is not the podcast for you. I have a sick, twisted sense of humor that does not make sense to anybody. Alexa, volume down 2. We did have a regularly scheduled guest this evening, but I think we're going to do that another day. So you guys are stuck with me today. And what I have going in my life today has superseded everything that I had planned to talk about. And we're going to talk about space and grace. Something I've never been able to do in life was space. So I'll talk about how we got there and where we're going to, but let's mix it up on a little bit of what's going on and what I find funny in the world right now. Besides monkeys in pants. I always find monkeys in pants incredibly funny. Why are we, all of a sudden we're looking at my, I was going the wrong way. My camera's all jacked up. And that's merit effort. Come on, come on. Come on. There we go. That's better. Let me look at my, a little better there, Shirley. You don't have the spoons to be a guest. Nice. I like it. Hey, crooked Jeff. Yeah, I'm crooked. I don't care if this camera's crooked. I'm trying to get it, but we'll fix it in post. There you go, Shirley. That's for you. So, my name is Jeff Johnson. I'm the host of Conversation Romance. I'm also the janitor. I'm the cook. Maybe not the cleaner. I do have a little help in that department. Once every 2 weeks, $40 comes in for 2 hours. What are you laughing at, Shirley? The $40 part? Well, maybe I'm cleaner than you. You ever thought about that? Maybe my place is cleaner than yours. You ever thought about that? You should see your face. It's not. My place is dirty. You've been here. You know how dirty my place is. So, but it's so much better now that I got the floor in here. I was living on a dirt mat, but it was an old wood floor. But we got some vinyl planks put down to make it look kind of. Why is there a snake in my head? Go away. Get. Oh. So, this is a podcast kind of about life. It's conversation romance is not about, you know, romancing your pants off of you to get in there. It's about just talking better to people in general, right? I think the romance has gone out of, no, I'm not a fan of snakes. I'm not afraid of anything except for spiders, snakes, sharks, and women. That's about it. But this is a podcast about me kind of learning how to grow up with my conversation. Me how to I was not a very healthy person for 50 years of my life. And after I'm 54 now. In the last 4 or 5 years, my therapist and I have been working pretty hard. I have, not only do I have a traditional talk therapist, I have an EDMR therapist, I have a hypnotist, I have a Tibetan medicine woman, I have a Natal chart reader, yeah, only thing I'm missing, never mind. I won't go there. So I've been working on myself a lot. And one of the things that I've never, you know, I kind of grew up on cortisol and I was addicted to cortisol. I used cortisol like most people use oxygen. It was just always part of my forefront of my brain. I learned that as an infant, to tell you the truth. My cortisol addiction started as an infant. And it never did end, and I never did really know it wasn't supposed to be like that, as most of us, right? If you're with me, you've had, you've been yourself since you were a kid, and we don't grow up Right. Now we can do better. We can make choices and do better. But I didn't know that I needed to until I was 50. I got 5 marriages in there to women this time. Well, maybe the one still in question, but that was a shot. And yeah, I wasn't very good in those wood. I was everything you hate about men. I was that guy. They weren't perfect either. We were, you know, several of them, we were using each other. Kind of works out that way sometimes. But the one thing that I found the hardest in recovery, was recovery the right word? I don't know if recovery is the right word. But the one thing I found the hardest on my journey was to be still. The shadow work sucks. Yeah, that does. I don't mind it now, but in the beginning it really sucked. The self-reflection in the shadow, the reparenting. I don't know if you've ever done any reparenting. That wasn't actually painful, but damn it, you don't want to talk about something that makes you cry. If you can get into that EDMR place where, yeah, it is messy, it still helps incredibly. But if you can get in an EDMR place where it's safe and you can actually sit down and have a conversation I talked to 10-year-old Jeff. That's who I talked to. That's kind of when my life changed. Kind of when I went feral, as a matter of fact. So I had to keep moving. I was like a shark. If I stopped, I was going to die. And we can talk about all you want as a kid, but how that manifests as an adult in my relationship was being in control of everything. If I would communicate with you 45 times a day, if I was the only thing you got to talk to, I could control the narrative. I would only listen to you so I would know what to say in response. I was just interested in controlling everything. And when you control everything, you have to be in front of everything. You have to be active. You have to be running. So this time, I was headed out. So this is the morning that my ex-wife, she asked me, she told me, if you don't do the therapy I want you to do, and you don't see the therapist I want you to see, well, we can't be married anymore. And I said, okay, we can't be married anymore. And I went to the ranch. And I made a decision right there in perpetuity to not run anymore. And then the universe, like, snowed for 14 feet. Remember that one, Amy Denise? This was, what, 3 years ago? 2.5 years ago? 2 years ago? The snow came. We got, like, 3 feet of snow at the ranch. My buggy would have made it out, but Mucky didn't have any doors or windshields. I'd have froze my wiener off, you know what I mean? So I had to sit still. And then I lost hot water. The hot water heater went out. So it was 2 weeks without hot water here in the snow. And I had 300 followers on TikTok. And I couldn't get to see my therapist. And her, she was having problems and this and that. And so I started talking on TikTok. Unabashed. And now it's embarrassing to go back and look at. But I'm proud of it, kind of, if I don't have to listen to it. But one thing led to another, and here we are. So the universe did me a favor by trapping me in that camper there for a couple weeks. It allowed me to be still. Couldn't drive anywhere. You know, just Tripp and I would go out, beat on the ice, and thaw the shit pipe of the RV and do whatever we had to do. But we weren't going anywhere. We were still. We were working in ourselves. We were in my own head. And that was an ugly, ugly place. It was filled with rage, greed, jealousy, adultery. Oh, shit. I just realized that. I've broken every commandment. All of them. I don't know, man. How do you recover from that? I know forgiveness is absolute, but yeah. All 10. Is there one I didn't break, do you think? Do we? All right. Covet? Yeah. Adultery? Yeah. Vain? Name in vain? Fuck yeah. False idols. Ooh, we might can get it on this one, Shirley. We might get out. We might back out of one here. False idols. No, I got that one too. You want to guess what the idol was, anybody? You want to guess what I idolized more than God? I'm asking, I have people in the audience here, so that's who I'm asking in case you're wondering. Who's that jackass talking to? Why is he the only one on screen? I'm the only one here. It's my dog. But 10 commandments. I think I got them all. Why can't I remember them? Can y'all remember all 10 commandments? Yeah, so why didn't you put them on the screen for me, producer? You shall have no other gods before me. I might get off on a technicality on that one, right? You had to look them up too? Oh, yeah. Sorry, I thought your text that came across was a message, not your closed caption. Though you shall not covet your neighbor's house. I've done that. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What does that mean exactly, Shirley? False testimony means I'm not lying about it, right? He stole my bicycle. Is that false testimony? He stole my bicycle? He didn't when he didn't, right? Oh, shit, I'm dealing with that tonight. Anyway, thou shalt not commit adultery. Got it. I did that one. Honor your father and your mother. I did not. I didn't get a chance to honor my father, but. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. I've done that. Yeah. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything. What does that one mean? What does that mean? Let's see if it says it a different way somewhere. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. What does that mean? All right, so what is that number one says you shall not have other gods before me. And then you shall not make false idols. And then you shall not take the name of the vain. You shall bear false witness. You shall not covet. I do that. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. So let's go on that one real quick. Is there a war exemption? Is there a wartime exemption? There shouldn't be, right? Or is there? Anybody got any opinions in the audience? Anybody want to come in and log in as a guest and talk about these things? Because I'm really not sure what the difference is of no other gods before me and make false idols. I mean, I haven't ever made an idol. I mean, I try to make out with an American idol. Does that count? No, it wasn't Clay Aiken, you jackasses. I know where you're going with that. Laugh it up, Shirley. Laugh it up. Shirley's my invisible executive producer that's filling in as a producer now, too. She's a Jane of all trades and a master of most. Well, I don't know what happened there. But, oh, wait, here we go. What about commemorate the Sabbath? What happened to that? What happened to keep the Sabbath holy? We don't have to do that anymore. Graven images. Anything you worship more than God is a graven image. Okay. Well, this is going to sound horrible. Cover your ears, folks. Pussy. I idolized women. I did. I put them ahead of everything, right? I put them... I thought I had to have one to be happy. Dude, if you guys knew some of the shit that I would tell women just to not be alone. It was all about not being alone. All right, so let's get off the Tinkerbell. So I burned through all of those pretty heavy. But back to space. So that's the whole thing about being alone, right? If you're alone and you don't allow yourself space, well, you're not really alone, are you? And then the other question that comes up in my life right now is, can I be alone? And can I be alone and give myself space in public when there's other people there? And what I've learned is you can. Would you agree with that, Shirley? That you can give yourself space even if you're in public and in a crowd? And I Shirley agrees, even though you can't hear. I don't know why I keep talking to you since I can't hear you. But I'm going to say you agree with me every time. Man, I'm having a hard time processing this, tell you the truth. This whole, I recently, and that's one of the things that I will be in eternally grateful for the peach, is that she got me back into church. It was because of her that I went back to church, and all this universe and meditation stuff turned to prayer and God, right? Which is good. And we all know the story of the prodigal son and all that kind of stuff. I'm not the prodigal son. I'm alone. My prodigal son went back to his family. I don't have that option. I don't have a family to go back to. So is there a 50-year-old prodigal son story we need to warm up? I don't want to think I am the prodigal son. But I kind of did, right? I kind of went out and did whatever I wanted to, ignored everything that was taught, ignored everything that I believed actually as a kid, and said, I don't believe anything anymore. If I can't touch it, I don't believe in it. And that's how I was for, 40 years, from 10 to 50. Man, this hurts. This really sucks. Because I sat in church yesterday and was just, and even talked about it in at work today. I sat in church yesterday and was thinking, God, this is a horrible service. The message was discombobulated. The preacher didn't know. They didn't know the scriptures at all. They didn't talk about it. There was nothing in the preacher's story, the words of the message that matched the, there was never any tie-in. It was basically just somebody up there talking for, ooh, I better be careful with glass houses there, Richard. But it was no rhyme or reason to it. It was basically, I don't know. And I was trying not to be judgmental and I was burying the not being judgmental with the thought that it's just not my cup of tea. And I guess I was pretty judgmental about it. I won't go back. And I don't really regret leaving early. After an hour and 15 minutes, I was ready to get up and move. Right? And she wasn't even close to being done. There was music to go and a benediction. And I'm sure there's a plate at some point in time. But I... Oh. I hate it when I realize I'm the problem. Right? It'd be so much easier to blame God for shit. But he was there when I left him, and he was there when I got back. He never left me either. I left him. But he's got to be the one that saved, that gave me the intuitions to leave when I had left. And my, you know, here I am safe. My crew, I never lost a crew member. Thought I was going to get close one time. A guy got the Zika. Remember the Zika virus? He was a little bitty dude, though. I didn't know he was going to make it. And we were in Sri Lanka. And by the way, in case you're wondering, he was in the hospital for 10 days. And the hospital, everything included, meals and medicine, everything, was $72 a day. And we had a private room. It could have been like $28 a day if it wasn't for the private room, but that's healthcare, baby. That's what it cost. We didn't have any insurance over there. That's just what it cost. Can you imagine? And yeah, that's a lot of money to them, I guess, but still, that's something. I you know what? I don't know if we're going to be able to publish this. I'm not really comfortable moving forward, Shirley. I got a lot of praying to do. I didn't realize that I just busted through all 10 commandments. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it's the whole idea of, I keep thinking to myself, I'm a good dude. Right? Yeah, I am. No, I'm responsible for all my actions, right? Just because I'm not going to repeat those actions doesn't mean I'm responsible and I have impunity with those things, right? Yeah. I don't know why I clear my throat in the dang microphone, but I do. Yeah. So what? I really don't know. I mean, I really don't know where to go from here. We can go back to space, but the only reason I couldn't really give a lot of space is because my head was never quiet. You know, you got the shit. Anybody else been through 10 Commandments, Barb? Amy? Anybody? Man. Self-defense doesn't have the same connotation as murder, right? Is that our loophole? I'd feel better if it was 9 out of 10 instead of 10 out of 10. I don't know why. Yeah, it's right. No, I think the passing grade is like a 10 here, right? You're going to get, if you get one right, you pass. I mean, this is a violation test. Oh, man. I'm sorry, everybody. I mean, I can continue to talk about space, but I'm worried about my soul right now. It's like, I don't know if I have enough bourbon to cover these sins up. It burns. It doesn't burn enough. Turkey 101 tonight, by the way, everybody. There is a decent liquor store in town that I'll be going to either tomorrow or the next day to see if they want to advertise on the radio. But the one we have in town is just Wild Turkey's about as good as you're going to get. They had a bottle of Yellowstone, which is really good, but it doesn't get the job done as fast as Turkey 101 does. Mm. And it burns. And if I'm right about the Ten Commandments, you better get used to the burning sensation, right? Yeah.
It worked.
Oh boy. Hey Missy, how are you? Missy's gonna join us, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how that works.
Can y'all hear me?
So while we're waiting for her to come in all the way, I'll try to get in. Hey lady, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, there you go. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And how did I not know that you were going through something right now?
I don't advertise it on TikTok.
Okay. Well, do you want me to not
say anything here? I don't put it out there for that. There was enough going on with my grief with Rome and stuff, so I don't ever talk about having leukemia. Mm.
So when did you find out you have leukemia?
I've had leukemia for 17 years.
Okay, 17 years.
Not Hodgkin's lymphoma for 12. Hodgkin's
lymphoma. So what's the breast difference cancer between the two for the layman? All right, hang on. So we got breast cancer, non-Hodgkin's, and leukemia?
Uh-huh, non-Hodgkin's. I've had pancreatic for 3 years and spinal cancer. Yeah.
And you outlived your husband?
Yeah. Rome passed 2.5 years ago of COVID. I was supposed to be the one, they said, but I made it and I'm still here. 25 clinical trials. Tough. And my third time having cancer in my life. I had it as a kid, too.
Yeah. What did you have as a kid?
Leukemia.
You're only 18?
What?
You're only 18 years old?
Who?
You said 17 years ago.
Ha ha. Cute.
I'm trying to make the math work.
Okay. No, I had it as a kid, 11 to 13. Then I had it for 6 years in my 20s. And now for the last 17 years. And I'll be 55 in August.
So that's 17, 24, 30 years.
Yeah.
27.
Most of my life.
Don't check the math. You know somebody's going to
Don't worry. I'm an English person. I'm not a math person.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Can you hang on just a second? I need to check the soup.
Check the soup.
Market, Shirley. Market, market, market.
And I don't think I'm getting a bowl of that. I'm like, what, 9 hours away? I love cooking for people.
Fire's off. There'll be no more emergencies. So,
well, that's good.
I'm going to have to thicken it up quite a bit. So sorry for that. So 30 years of your life, and you've had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a little bit like Barb's run, except hers is all in a row. She's on a streak.
Aw. Yeah, she's in my prayers.
We were chatting earlier. So let me ask you this, Missy. What is it? What do you think it is? What do you think that you're just lucky?
Well, yeah. Apparently, my doctors call me a magnet for cancer.
Did you have the overhead power lines like Aaron Brockovich or anything like that?
No, genetically, we have a lot of leukemia in our family, and I have a blood disorder mm-hmm. that is genetic also that is very tied to leukemia. And a lot of von Willebrand patients, because it's a rare disorder, have some type of anemia and have leukemia.
Right.
So.
Wow. That seems tough.
But, I think environment has a little bit to do with it too. I think what happens is when you're a child and if you are genetically predisposed for that, you're going to have also mm-hmm. traumatic events that can bring those flare ups. It's like with any childhood disease that's sitting dormant. A lot of times trauma can bring that up.
Trauma. So I think I've heard something that said that the trauma reduces your ability to fight off stuff so bad, right?
It does.
Yeah.
Well, I look at it's when cortisol. I went through all the grief. I struggled fighting off my cancer when Rome passed because I was so distraught. And it lowered my immune system. And I got COVID 3 times because my immune system was so low and I had never had it until that first time. And we had gone a year and a half with no COVID. And, I have seizures. I have a bunch of health stuff. Heart valves melted.
Got new ones.
Mitral
valve or the aortic?
They went all the way through. I got 4 new valves a year and a half ago.
Do you all pig, I hope?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's my second time. I had cow previously.
Right. Well, pig's better. Pig's definitely better than cow, I think.
Yeah.
But you don't have a clicker. You don't have a ping pong ball, do you?
Mm-mm. No. Nope.
You ever seen one of those?
Mm-hmm.
I was in the cardiology business for years back in the 80s and 90s. And I've had a ton of patients, but the worst was an uncle. I had an uncle. I don't care how loud my family was. You could always hear that. And the funny thing was, now that I'm an adult and look back on these things, you could tell when he got mad. It's like, whoa, dude, relax.
Yeah.
So how's the scar situation? You got a lot of scars?
No, not really, actually.
Have scars with all those surgeries?
Well, because they went up through my groin. They went up through my groin and through my arm and... Yeah. Yeah. What they couldn't open me up. Wait a minute.
Wait a dadgum minute. When did women get groins?
You know.
No, you don't have a groin. You have a femoral. You have a femoral artery, right? Yeah. Men have groins, and I know this because it was 2 years ago was the first ever recorded groin injury in women's sports. Somebody got their dick punched.
Pretty much.
No, they did. It's a kind of a joke about men playing women's sports, but you know, not everybody. They're not all funny, so don't feel bad.
It's okay.
If we're gonna do this more than once, you're gonna have to laugh from time to time, even if you don't like the jokes.
I did laugh. I'm sorry. Ha ha.
Hey, I wonder if I can get one of those applause signs. What do you think? Think so?
Yeah. What I'll do is I'll record my grandkids and then I'll just play it every time for you. How's that?
So we could do that.
They're the best cheerleaders.
Yeah. You think?
Mm-hmm. Well, they're my biggest fans.
If I could get Shirley, if I could get the media player to work, I would be playing the cheering sound right now. Because I have laughing, I have cheering, I have all this stuff in there. But this, now remember, we only pay a small freaking fortune for this software, but the damn thing don't work. It's just sitting there spinning like a monkey.
And I can't even get my camera to work on my computer.
What's that?
I can't get my computer camera to work today. It decided to restart when I signed on.
No, that's okay. So what you're seeing on the screen is not what you'll see on the recording.
Okay,
so.
Cool.
This the software record, it shows us a very low image, but when it's record, we're gonna broadcast it in 8K. Is it 4K or 8K? 4K.
Okay.
Thank you, Shirley. It's 1K? You got 4K, I got 1K. Okay. All right. So what's up, Missy? Did you come on to talk about space? Now that we've got your medical history and we've fully violated your HIPAA rights all over the place. No more HIPAA. Fuck you, HIPAA.
Yeah, well, I'm not private about it unless people ask.
Yeah.
If they ask, I tell them.
Well, I do. I want to know, right? We've talked a couple of times. We've not for a long time, but a couple of times. So and the thing is, I care. I give a shit. And I, not because I love you or anything like that. Because I never have cared before. I didn't know how to. When you're working 24 hours a day, or no, 23 hours and 32 minutes a day, keeping your ass out of mud and your head out of the clouds, I didn't give a fuck about nobody except my daughter. I could care less about any of my five wives over the years. And I'm sorry to have to say that, but it's the truth. I cared about me and only me until my daughter was born.
That ego.
Yeah, I want to say ego, and that would be the easy thing to do.
We all have an ego.
No, I have an ego. Trust me. It's just bigger than most everything else I got. My ego is probably the biggest thing in my body, actually. But the problem was it really wasn't the ego. I was lying to everybody about so much. I could not rest. I had to stay ahead of the lies. And when I met somebody and I was honest with them about who I was, I knew that was going to fail. Right. So I also not only I also had to prepare for my next person. Right.
Because you self-sabotage.
Oh, yeah, I know for sure. Right. It was also sabotage. Are we having some problems over there?
Yeah, but look at how you handled everything recently. Look how you just handled everything in the weekend.
Well, but that's.
You handled it very different than you had done originally when you and her had that first disagreement. Your handling of it was very different.
Wait a minute. What was different about the first time?
First time you little more ranting. A little more.
I didn't know her.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I didn't have any grace for her, right? I didn't allow her any grace because it was just a few dates, and I figured if you're going to be a shithead to me now. But,
yeah,
but what I didn't realize, I was just a big shithead too. So, thank you.
Got to give things time sometimes to work out.
Thank you very much for saying that. But I think that it goes back to our original topic is space. Right.
Yep.
So I allowed her space to be herself and I allowed her space to do what it needs to do. And dude, I'm thankful for that woman in my life. So how do you manage space in all the shit you're going through? Cause you're going through leukemia and all this other shit, these clinical trials, and you don't know if it's going to make you grow hair out of your, out of your armpits, right? Next thing you know, you got hairy elbows. The fuck is that? So,
yeah, that doesn't work for my golf game. I'm just saying.
I think it, you don't.
I'll just be lasering head to toe at that.
Are you
point.
Not? Are you? What if it would just give you more indication of the wind, the actual wind, not the head? You feel the hair moving. That's how. Yep. Hey, that's how I gauge my hair is my nose hair. When it blows this way or this way, I don't want to go.
Yeah, I don't have that indication. I get goosebumps just a tiny bit of wind.
Give it time. You get the nose hair eventually, lady. Wait till the mustache kicks in.
Mm-hmm. No, I will not. I will laser that crap.
Oh, yeah, but it's going to have to. You can't laser no hair. You have to grow it out to laser it. That's what they say about waxing, right? Did you shave in the last five? It's like, yeah, we can't wax it.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. I don't worry about all that as much anymore. But no, for me, space is making the time each day. I purposely put aside time to give myself a few moments each day, 10, 15 minutes of joy, 10, 15 minutes of reflection. And if I need more, I take more. But if I don't,
How do you know when you need more?
I'm pretty in tune with who I am and what I want. And I can feel my stressors. I can tell when situations are overstimulating me or too much for me to handle. And even when I don't gauge that, I still give myself that 15 minutes of time. And sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's less, but typically it's about 15 minutes. And I just sit in silence and just reflect. You know, I'm big into prayer, but this more than prayer, it's meditation.
So I think we had a text exchange about that on a post that I made the other day, because I am, I'm trying to get rid of the meditation word, right? But this is where I'm going to offend people. I feel like meditation is praying to myself.
For me, meditation is just self-reflection. It's centering. Difference? Think That's about just, this. There's people that do grounding.
Now you're just splitting hairs, in my opinion, right? Because if you say meditation is thinking about yourself, and I'm praying to myself. I do this too. I said, Jeff. Yeah. I said, Jeff, you need to be more relaxed. You need to breathe more. You need to drink more water, Jeff. Why are you feeling this, Jeff? That's my meditation. I talk to myself in my meditation out loud. So is that kind of prayer or no?
Personally, for me, I don't think so. Okay. For myself. Only you would know that answer.
Yeah. And so it goes along with the rest of the thing that you've heard me say a few times is that, you know, where is God? And God is inside me, right? He's not in a church. He's not in a book. He's inside me. I can read the words of a book and activate that, and I can walk into a building and feel fellowship. But actual God resides in my heart and soul. So if I'm, and I pray out loud too. I do. There's a long story why, but I pray out loud. And it doesn't sound that much different to me, to tell you the truth. I don't know. Oh.
I liked what Christina put, that it's a conversation with ourselves.
Yeah. And
and that's kind of, I center myself with that. I'm not having a conversation with, say, God directly. I'm not asking for his guidance. Right. I'm not asking for his help. I'm asking for myself to pay attention to how I'm feeling or how situations are. And then if I need guidance, then I pull God into it and go, hey, I'd like a little guidance, a little help.
So
right
was
now.
It you that said that made the statement earlier that that meditation is centering yourself so you know what to pray for?
I didn't say about that.
It's a really good way. I've set them up.
Okay, sure.
I'll set them up for you. You sort of knock them out of the park.
Yeah, I like it. Tee up and I got it. Awesome.
I do like that. How do you feel about that statement? Meditation is me figuring out what I need to pray about.
I think it's a good statement.
I still don't think it's the case for me. And the reason I'm so dead set on these words is because when you tell a Christian that you're meditating, the first thing they do is go, oh, shit. He's a meditator. Now we got it. Right. How long you been born again? How long you been working on this journey of yours? Anytime I hear meditation, I think of yoga and hippies and free love and Goldie Hawn in a bikini.
I used to think that way too.
You thought about Goldie Hawn in a bikini?
I used to honestly think that meditation. No, no, no.
I'm sorry. I know I'm a dick.
But I have hung out at a pool with her once before.
In a bikini?
Well, no, she had a one piece on.
That's why her and I just.
She's on the other end of the pool and we were down at one end.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't hang out with her. I can't do those one piecers.
Yeah.
Just teasing. I don't care.
You can't wear a one piece or you can't wear a two piece.
Oh, I could rock the shit of a two piece. I'm a strong 52A. Thank you very much. And if I gain.
Oh, okay. Got me.
The problem is if everything I eat goes straight to my tits, that's like, not to my butt.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Ditto. Yeah.
Can I offer you some soup? Sorry.
No, I got it.
Oh boy.
Not bikini weather yet.
All right.
I did. I asked for two bowls, Debbie. You are right. I asked for two bowls in the lot.
We're just gonna move on. Can you believe the weather we're having? It's hot in here, everybody. Take my wife, please.
You're like, wait, it's zip.
All right, so can we take this into a different direction a little bit, Missy?
Absolutely. Okay.
So, you've given us a little bit of your story. I'm sure that some people have picked up on it, but you lost your husband, was it 2.5 years ago?
Two and a half years, yeah.
So, how does dating look these days?
I'm considering dipping my feet in the pond, and that's where I'm at.
A lot of guys like that.
My kids aren't.
Well, a lot of guys like the feet thing. Oh, wait.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how dating looks for me in my life.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to know, because you have a lot going on that affects you in a great deal of way, mm-hmm. right? Or no? I've lost your video, so
I don't know if I have the space in my life to have a relationship with someone else right now. And the grace that would take to develop that and my kids.
Ooh.
Although I'm craving intimacy and physical touch. So I'm trying to balance that.
Get a cat. Physical touch.
I have a kitty cat right here. And
that was I heard somebody give that advice earlier today. They're like, well, just get a dog or a cat. There is so much legitimate to needing human touch, right?
I do. I didn't realize how much I needed it and how much I craved it, because we were still in love. I mean, we were still a very loving, affectionate 33-year married, still dating each other couple. And I wasn't used to going more than a few weeks. And so after my initial grief of 6 months to a year hit, I started navigating it, and I realized my kids weren't ready yet. So I put all that on the back burner. And now I'm at a point where I don't know how that looks.
So, and I don't mean to be crude at all. And if you want me to take this out, I can. I would prefer not.
No, you're fine.
But, Angelina back in the day when she, Angelina Jolie, back when she was the hottest thing going on and all that shit, she made a public statement, several public statements, and was not shy about it, that because she had all the kids and Brad and all that stuff was going on in their breakup, and they had all those crazy babies. And she said, once a month, I go to a hotel, I get a hotel room, and I get a guy friend of mine, and I just bang it out. And I know that's not intimacy. I understand that's not intimacy. And I know that's not the physical touch I crave anymore. But after doing that 90 days of celibacy thing I did, right? No touching, no porn, no nothing for 90 days. I get it. I so get it. Right? I get it. But can you see the sanity in that at this point in time or no?
Oh. I really can actually. That's something some of my kids' friends have brought up, and like everyone else talks about the conversation of my dating life, but
please,
my
dear
children.
God, say your kids
they
are
avoid
in
it like
kindergarten.
The plague. My kids are in their 30s.
I thought you had kindergarten.
But they're just getting through.
Can you imagine
grief.
Kindergarten kids talking
so
about
I just, my thing is I don't know if I want to introduce someone new to them. And in that case, I think I'm just going to keep my
okay.
My activities, my
now
life on
have,
hold.
Now,
like, I'm not on
now
hold.
Now you've just gone into some really weird thing. Territory for me here.
What?
If your kids are 30. Why would you be introducing mm-hmm. them to anybody else? It's not like, well, this is Steve. He's going to be your new dad. That's not how we do that at 30 when the kids are 30, right?
No. That's not what okay. I mean. What I mean is, okay, if I start seeing someone and it gets mm-hmm. serious and I bring them into my life, my children are going to be affected by that. No. We're a very close family. We get together a lot. I don't care. I mean, it's up to them to build mm-hmm. their relationship yep. with the person yep. or not. But I also, my grandchildren spend a lot of time with me. And so whoever I pick, I'm hopeful that everything will integrate properly. And I think it will.
It will if you,
because if will. I'm not.
But I need hang on.
Wait, if I facilitate it, right.
Back up. So. Yeah. I'm confused. They're 30. Now, they will always be your kids, but they're mm-hmm. not your children any longer. They're your kids or they're your grown-ass people. They're your tribe now, right?
True.
So, okay.
True, my crew.
I know that you've chimed in on this topic even before, that when the heads of the household, when the heads of the family, the mother and the father, are healthy, kids get what they need from that.
Yes.
You're not healthy if you're not getting what you need in life. So, and I said, and I heard you say that they're not over their grief yet, but they're responsible for their own grief, not you. Now, this is not a lecture. This is my opinion.
Sure.
And I'm asking so why would you not do everything in your power to make you happy so your kids can see you happy? Because when mama's happy, everybody's happy. I'm sorry. Thank God you couldn't see my point now. That's horrible.
Well, and I also think for me right now is I am being kind to their grief, as well as I don't know if I'm 100% ready.
But you'll never know until you try. But you're not going to try by using the kids. Are the kids an excuse? It's been...
No.
2.5 years.
Not an excuse. Well, I don't know, Jeff. Actually, they may be a little bit of an excuse.
It's
you may
safer.
Be right there. They could be a little bit
and
of
an
excuse.
And if it is?
It is.
If it is, it's okay.
Yeah. I think to the point is my son and my daughter-in-law have had the conversation with me one way, and my daughter and my, because we're all, as your children get older, they also become part of your friendship group too. For us, that's what happened is we developed a nice friendship and hanging out together because we spend a lot of time together. However, there's certain conversations that we don't talk about. And my personal life is one of them. And they just want me to be happy.
Okay.
And I told them, I said, I will let you know.
I admire you for this part, right? Your personal details, right? They don't need to see the videos. They don't need to hear the chats, right? Your personal details, but they, so how old are your grandkids too? Your young ones. The youngest grandkid is how old?
4 to 12. I have 5 of them and they're 8
4
to 12. 12.
So how do I feel about that? It's like, I'm on this huge pitch right now to my neighbor's mom. That, you know, she's a crazy 72, right? She's good looking, mm-hmm. she's smart, she's funny, and she had a life. We started talking in hopes to do a over 70 kind of focused podcast, and she hasn't got comfortable being filmed yet. But we started talking, and, you know, she grew up in the Summer of Love. We started out in 1965 talking about the riots and all that kind of shit in Florida. And it's been 3 weeks now. We're still not past 1973. we just hit into, yeah, we, ooh, no, yeah, we just hit mushrooms and acid. It's fucking fantastic. But I'm like, so I tell her, I said, hey, does Taylor know this about you? Not the drug use, but does Taylor know that, does Taylor know her granddaughter? Does she know anything about you other than you're a grandmother? And she goes, no, I would never. No, I want her by myself. I said, oh, you're doing that kid a disservice. I would love to know what my grandmother was like when she was my age. You know? And because it would have been validation for my weird thoughts, right? It would have been my validation for wanting to try new things. I wish I knew my grandmother as a person, not a grandmother. And I've offered her this several times that she won't do it yet, but I want to record her story in her voice, just her and I talking, and then she can release it to the kids when it's age appropriate at that age. And that's, this is a thing that I got, and you're going to kill me for talking too much probably. But do you remember the movie with Michael Keaton where he found out he had terminal cancer and he had young kids. He went and did a bunch of VHS tapes about, okay, when you're open this one when you're 13. So yep. What I do now with this software that we use, when these files are finished, I can save all these raw files. I can put them somewhere, and we could upload them to these companies now that do what am I trying to say, Shirley? Holograms. Now they're screen supported holograms. Now you have to watch a screen to it, but eventually it's going to be like iRobot, where you just put this little round computer on the ground. Grandmother stands up out of it. You go, hey, Grandma, what's for supper? Right? Wouldn't that be fantastic to have your four-year-old grandkid, after you're long gone, can sit down and talk to 21-year-old you? Well, they'll be talking to 50-year-old you, whatever you are, you, but they would hear your story from your words, not some bastardized, cleaned up version that you've sold to public because you don't want to get kicked out of the church. Right. And not some fantasy that your kids think you were and everything else, but they would get to know the real you. And so was your great grandkids.
Yeah. Be a lot easier than reading all my journals I've been keeping for 40 years.
Especially if your handwriting's like mine. But get to,
well, I'm
ambidextrous.
I write with both.
So, but get this though, your great 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 grandkids would know you from your mouth.
I think that's pretty awesome.
Right now, actually. If I die tomorrow, which I might with this headache, if I die tomorrow, nobody will talk about me after about a week. That's just how it goes. It's not because my life's weird, but just how it goes. And then somebody's going to come into my house and just go, what the fuck is all this shit? And throw it all away and do something else with all the stuff that I cherish and love. And then after 4 weeks, the only people that will ever think about me is the ones that have bad gas, right? And then after 6 to 8, 9 weeks, it's done. I'm gone. And that's not me. That's just a progression of death.
I'm aware. I'm aware how easily... Yeah. That happens.
But I kind of think this is like Superman, right? What have I always said about this house, Shirley? This house is my fortress of solitude. And you remember Superman could push those little crystals in and his dad would come up and talk to him. That's what this is about. I'm going to tell you a big secret about this podcast. A lot of this podcast is for Grace. She's not talking to me right now, right? But hopefully she's watching these things, right? And hopefully
she'll watch it.
And that's the point. She'll get to know me as a man, not as the dick-headed fucked up dad I was, right? I'm telling you.
My kids are just starting to figure out some things about me that they had no idea. They were like, wait, Mom, you know how to surf? I was like, yes, for like decades. Like, seriously, people, you know, like it's simple things they didn't realize because they were just my children.
Mom. You're not a surfer. You're a mom, and moms don't surf. Right. And this is exactly, you're making my point. Yeah. I love it when people do this. You're making my point for me. So this is then the point is, if you leave your legacy for your children to tell you, they're going to tell you they're going to tell everybody you were a mom. They're not going to tell everybody. I mean, I'm not saying you have to tell everything. You can tell me though, but I'm going to need illustrations and so on. But the way
I don't think you want to go.
Find out about that thing you do, right? Or that, you know what I mean? Because if you.
Well, okay, my kids found out a few years ago about I hitchhiked when I was 15 to Canada and to meet some guy or something. And my mom told the story, and my brother, because my brother sold me out because he was in trouble for something as a 48-year-old. And my kids were like, wait, mom, you went hitchhiking a few times? Yes.
They have to understand the world was different, though. Hitchhiking was
normal. It was.
I was in third grade peewee football, and we were going like 26 miles in a school bus from Sanger, Texas to Pilot Point, Texas. And we picked up the bus. My coach stopped and picked up these two chicks. There was no car around. They were walking. They had on the shortest, tiniest shorts with those little tube tops you wore back in the 70s. Third grade would have been 1978 for me, 79. So, yeah, they were full hippie boobs out. And they ended up going to the baseball game with them. I think pretty much the coaches laid down, I think. Like, yeah. You know, see, this is why I'm fucked up. My coaches fucked me. Baseball did this to me. Son of a bitch.
You can not blame sports.
I know. It was different back then, but that's not really what I'm talking about, too. Wait until we don't want to think about our parents as a sexual being, right? And did you? And no. So, but
no.
I'm not.
Although my mother made sure I knew.
My mom did too. I asked my mom what a hemorrhoid was one time, and she goes, "I'll show you." Spread them out like she was getting prison search.
My kids were in their 20s when they realized that Rome and I were wrestling, that we weren't wrestling on Sunday afternoon naps.
But I still can't see your Fruit of the Loom underwear without thinking of fucking hemorrhoids. God, it looked just like the grapes. Oof.
I would have died.
I'm telling you, man. You die.
But it's not like something I would have done. So
it's so tough. And it's tough because I don't want, if I ever have a grandkid, I don't want them to know me as only a grandkid. I want them to know me as a kid. I want them to know that their aberrant thoughts are okay because I had them too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I need validation that.
I want you.
What was that? I didn't hear you, man. What'd you say? Oh, okay.
No, I heard you. I said, I agree with you.
I just don't. I don't know why I care.
Well, no, I care because my granddaughters, they talked to me in like, Gam, when you were this age, did you do this? Or when mom was this age, did she do this? And they don't understand how our life was different. Like, I was like, yeah, guys, when I wanted to talk to my friends, my phone was on the wall. And I had a cord that wrapped all the way around where I could go to the bathroom, to my bedroom, and back to the hallway to have the phone. And you laid on the floor by the wall.
Feet up.
And like, why would you lay on the floor? Because
feet up on the wall.
The thing.
Right. Butt pressed against feet, straight up, letting all the blood lay down into your head. And the floor.
For hours.
You could tell how long the cord was because the floor would be worn out here. My mom used to give me,
linoleum.
Exactly, the linoleum. But my mom always said, if I tied your legs together, you couldn't talk on the phone.
Oh, hello, buddy. Salem says hi, everybody.
Hi, Salem. So what is it just the grief of your kids that's keeping you from getting what you need in your life?
I don't know, honestly. I'm still figuring it out. I mean, I've been asked, like I was asked to go on a date Saturday night to a concert, and my first impulse like, oh yeah, that'd be super fun. And then I realized it was an actual date. And then I was like, okay, am I ready for that? Am I, you know, because I think I am, and I'm going to give it a shot at times.
Can I give you a little?
Yeah. I get asked out.
I'm sorry, what? You broke up. You get asked out what?
I get out. I've done a few things where I've hung out with some guys playing golf or different friends or people that invited me, and I've made it kind of group things and stuff. But that one-on-one time is what makes me a little nervous. So I know what I want.
To my little man's point of view, if that man asked you out, and his intentions are pure, and you told him that you would love to go to the concert, but you're not ready, you're unsure of a date, but you would definitely go on an almost date. And you could use these words. Use words like you were in high school. So listen, I got this shit. Obviously, most likely, if he's asking you out, he knows a little bit about your history. Maybe a little bit.
He does.
So he's in tune to this, right? He's probably trying to help, is what he's thinking, right? We love to be the savior. We love it. We do. We love it.
I've got a few that want to be the savior for sure.
So if you can filter out the purity, if you can ever figure it out, or just pick the one that you want to hang out with the most and make sure that the boundaries are clear. There will not be a good night kiss. We're probably not going to hold. If we do hold hands, it'll be an accident and I'll be receptive to it and love it. They'll be there for you. If it's the right guy and he has the right intentions, he is not going to give a shit if you're going holding hands and macking down like you're 14 years old on the back of a Chevy Chevette.
Those are good old days.
But if that happens, it's great, wouldn't it? So this is, can I brag a little bit? This is what I had with the Peach. The Peach and I we didn't go to sex really quick at all. We waited and we approached it like we were kids. I mean, obviously, we have to have an adult conversation from time to time, but it was silly fun, just like 1986 dating stuff. She was 7 years younger, so it was probably 93 for her, but she didn't want to date me in 93.
I've had a couple encounters where there's been a couple gentlemen who wanted to have dinner, wanted to, and depending on the situation, I was okay with all that. But for the most part, I don't know. I mean, it was fun. We were having a good time and I like hanging out with them. And so what I've told each person was, I said, look, I'm going to know when it's right. I'm going to know when it's time. And I told my best friend, when God puts the person in my life that is going to kind of sweep me in a way into that giddiness, it's going to be the right situation. It's going to be the right time. I'm going to giggle and I'm going to enjoy it and not think about it.
Giddy won't come out if it's not right. Because giddy is a result of safety. And if it's not the right one, you'll never feel safe. But the way that Peach and I dated was like we were 17. Right, we held hands. She sat close to me, close to the truck. You know what I mean? The stuff that you don't do anymore because you're too busy. You got phones in your hands and all that kind of shit. We didn't do that because that's. I only know how to date in 1997. I don't know how to date in 1992, or 2002, or 22, or 24. Because and by the time 92 got here, I was looking for something different than dating.
1989 over here. And I only dated, like, I was engaged to someone when I met my husband, and I'd only dated briefly prior to that. And I was a teenager still. So I didn't have all this dating stuff.
I started dating when I had a car when I was 13, so I was dating.
Well, I mean, I was partying. I wasn't really dating. But I did. I had a steady boyfriend, and the guy I was engaged to before Rome. We dated kind of heavy for a while, obviously. But I haven't done that since 89. So this is different, you know. So for right now, I've just been having fun, hanging out.
Hooker.
Professional what?
Why not?
Nah.
Why not?
I don't think it's necessary.
I'm not saying you.
I get free offers.
No. But the free offers are not free. That's the problem. And I'm not saying, you know, grab a Motel 6 and get a cheap male hooker off the sidewalk. I'm saying just get a professional date. Why not?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's Christine or Debbie, one of y'all just said about friends with benefits. And it's true. I have discovered that there are a lot out there that want the friends with benefits thing.
I'm not interested in that shit at all.
And I don't, that may work for me a little bit or something, but in the end, I know I'm going to want something deeper. I want someone who seduces my mind and my body, both, who is my partner, who, you know, I smile when I think of their name.
Gigolo if it's out.
No, I know that.
But the only reason I bring this up is because somebody brought it up to me. I've had in the last couple of years, I've talked to more widows than I think anybody ever has. And I talked to one particular lady she was 64 years old when her husband died. And at 69 years old, mm-hmm. she still hadn't gone on a date, because she was just flat out afraid, because she was with her husband for 40 something years. No man had ever seen her naked but him. Mm-hmm. And she didn't even know how to look at another man outside of her husband. She hired a guy. And she eventually ended up having sex with him, right? But she hired a guy as a practice date. Because there's no sex. And because she can, I mean, when you're paying for it, you can do whatever. So the deal was, we're just going to go out on a date. And I need to learn this. I need to be comfortable with this. And it was a practice. And now, I'm not saying you have to pay somebody to do that if you have a friend you trust, but I'm not sure you do from how you've acted. I'm not.
I have one friend I can trust.
Would you be able to look at him like it was a date? Right.
Probably not him. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Actually, that kind of makes sense. I mean, they had a movie about that. Some girl hired some gigolo guy to be her date or something. I mean, it went romantic later, but. You set the parameters for it. It's not a bad idea.
Practice. I mean, you don't go drag racing without practicing, right? You definitely don't get an airplane and fly it the first time without practicing it. Why would you? And that's no more dangerous to your life than dating the wrong guy is dangerous to your life. So what the hell? Why look at it different? You pay an instructor.
I'm going to be honest. The dating pool. I'm nervous. I don't know where to start. Where do you even start?
You get what you attract, right? If you are what you are and what you're going to get what you attract, there's going to be guys that try to come in and fake you, and you'll see them fine. You'll see that. And you might even enjoy them for a little bit. You know what I mean? That's okay too. Because, you know, we face it. We all have that King James guilt in us, right? That we have to date a certain time. You can't, you know, you have to date this way and this way. You gotta get rid of that shit. You date how you want to date. You're not 14 anymore. You don't date how they tell you to. You date how you want to date. If you want to go, whatever it is, but please get rid of the predetermined how you tell your grandkids to date when they get old enough, how you taught your daughter to date. Fuck all that. They weren't 50 something. They hadn't been married for 33 years to the man of their dreams and lost him. Why are you dating the same way they are? And why are you dating the same way at this age as you were at 18 or 20? Break the molds, man. Pop those things. Sure.
Well, I got a question for you then. Okay.
Yeah.
For your dating advice then. So, for instance, I'm a big phone call person. I don't want to deal with that texting crap back and forth. I don't give a crap about the good morning, the good night.
I like the good mornings.
I don't mind the good morning, but I don't need that checking in. And I mean, if it's a genuine, hey, I just want to tell you good night, I'm crashing out or whatever, you know, just if you were expecting a phone call, but I want to talk to the person. I want to get to know them in front of me, not digitally. Yeah. Not, I mean, I want phone calls, but I want the physicalness to read them and to read our energy together. So how does that play in today's dating? Because from what I'm told, that doesn't work.
I swear to God, I did not set this question up, everybody. But look what happened with Peach and I. Okay. So we were in a live and she said something. I said, "Do you want to do a podcast?" We did a podcast and we had been talking before the podcast, but then we did it and I really liked her. That was on a Sunday. On Tuesday, I said, "I'm coming to Georgia." She goes, "What?" I said, No, I'm not coming to live with you. I'm just coming to date you because I don't want to fall in love with somebody over the phone. And I'm falling for you over the phone right now, right? And she's like, "Oh, shit. Okay." So I drove 14 hours up there to avoid that very thing. And it didn't work. We had a buff. We had a little poof up, right? Remember that? And the very next day, she said, "I'm coming to see you." And then she made the 12-hour trip to see me. It is what you want it to be. Just because this guy he wanted to text all the time. He's not your guy. Because her and I, we didn't text. We always videoed. And I don't know if that's because she knew that's what I wanted after being on TikTok for 2 years, or that's just how she communicated. But we didn't text message. Like it was like, "Ding, hey, sweetheart, I think we're going to do this, this, and this, and this. We'll talk to you later." It was videos. And it was only videos because it was long distance. And I guess we got one more vote for never having a fucking long distance thing again, right?
So would you do that again?
Yeah.
Long distance again? Takes.
So the truth is, if you want to be with somebody that bad, you're going to move mountains to be with them.
I agree with that 100%. Because if I connect with somebody, I don't care if they're in Montana or Pennsylvania, wherever. I'm not afraid to hop on a plane, by the way. I'm just like, look. Well, I did live in Philly, so I do have a thing about Jersey.
So if you met the man of your dreams from Trenton,
doesn't matter.
He still lived in Trenton? Are you going to Trenton? No. Fuck no.
I don't know. He's probably a New Jersey Devil fan, and I'm a Flyers girl, so I'm saying no to that.
I swore that when I dropped my skins and I was never going to go back to the Middle East again, I'm not wearing body armor anymore, so I'm not going to Trenton.
I'm not afraid to take the leap in that way. If somebody I'm connecting with and there's a distance, I'll take the leap.
And the initial leap is good, but it's those next leaps. Is how do you do the next leaps? So like, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of what happened with, I think the biggest problem with long distance is touch. Right.
Yeah.
I think that
I need the touch. I mean, I know I need it. I didn't think I did, but I need it.
When you're upset, and especially when you're mad at that person, because if you're mad at that person and you have chemistry with that person, when that person touches you, it changes you. Right.
Absolutely. Best way to end an argument is to just kiss them. Just kiss me. Just you want me to think about it later. We're gonna have a conversation later. But I need you to stop me and just tell me, just kiss me. Don't tell me to calm down. Just kiss me.
So I don't know if you heard the peacocking episode that I had. Yeah, that's exactly what
Walmart,
she grabbed me by the face and she would kiss me on the cheeks and go, "You're okay. You're safe." Because the obvious joke is, you kiss me. We just need to talk about the location. Where are you kissing me? And I don't mean Walmart, by the way. But that's a true story. But I agree. And here's the thing. A lot of times, I don't know where I feel about this, because a lot of times the physical chemistry will cover up a lot of shit. Right. And
definitely,
I am that guy, right? Definitely. Nobody, not one single woman has ever done this in my life, but that I know of ever, but it's the truth. And we've all talked about it and joked about it. If we're in an argument, pop a boob out. Right, it doesn't have to be real. It could be a fake boob. Yeah, it
boob
really
fixes everything.
Does.
It really
at
does.
Least it's like I know you're not mad at me, because no mad. I can tell the difference between a mad boob and a happy boob. Study, But it's true, because that physical stuff sometimes reminds us that maybe this isn't as important as I think it is. Because nine times out of 10, when I'm getting wrapped up in my own head, it's because I think something's going on that's really not. And if you kiss me, you touch me, whatever, that's a reset. That's a chemical reset. That's a boom. And what I'm afraid of, especially with Peach, is that if we would have been, because there were definitely some miscommunication cues that were like just fire and rain. But if I had been close to her, right? And that the small of the back and the curve of the hip and the, I don't know,
the proximity would have clouded a lot of things.
But is that what makes it work? That is.
Mm-hmm. I think you need a balance. I think you also need a balance. I mean, I need the intimacy, the proximity, and all that, but I don't need it 24/7 on me right now in the beginning, because in the beginning, you still need to navigate. You still need to have time for conversations that aren't just about chemistry and physical beat. I agree.
But I'm okay with that, because I think that happens if you rush to the demonstrative part, right? If you rush to sex, that's going to force you into a physical being. So there's a balance, right? Get a head of steam going, mm-hmm. build the anticipation, for fuck's sakes, right? Make out.
Flirting and teasing.
I'm not talking, you go to your corner, I go to my corner, we just say hi and goodbye, leave. I'm talking about make out. I'm talking about heavy petting, go to first mm-hmm. base, then to second base, and then go back to first base just because it was fun, right? Then bunt, lay down a bunt, mm-hmm. Anything you want to do.
Take a 15-minute break and come back at it. Oh,
fuck that. Just go. As long as, but go with the intent of we're not going to have sex.
And not just in your home. When you're, if you're in the vehicle and we just want to make out in the driveway.
I'm a big fan of that. I love it. I mean, that's where I learned how to make out. I was in a car. I lost my virginity in the back of a 1976 Chrysler New Yorker. You know how big those things are? Hello, Wendy, if you're out there, Wendy. I think about you every time I see a Chrysler.
1957 Chevy.
This is classic.
Black and white, 1957 Chevy, making out in the back of that. That was one of my most pivotal makeout moments that I remember as a teen.
Oh, yeah. When I got my first truck, and she was sitting, you couldn't put a piece of paper between us, right? And
We
went to Goatman Bridge, right, to see if we could see the Goatman come out. Watch the submarine races, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But that's
no, that sitting on the hood of your truck or in the bed of your truck and just hanging out, looking at the stars and making out.
If you're sitting on my hood, that means you got your legs wrapped around me. We're making out, lady. We're not just watching that, babe. But that's what Peach and I did.
Exactly.
That's how we orchestrated it. We agreed on it going forward that if we're going to do this, we're going to do this in stages. We're going to get to know each other like we used to get to know each other. And when I actually make it to first base, I'm going to go home and be like, fuck yeah, I got boob, everybody. Boob, everybody, right?
Okay, well, Jeff, you want to know what else works? Rome and I did that for 33 years.
But
we still made out all the time. We still we sat in the car. Yeah. You saw my truck video. We sat tons of times in that. And when I was telling everybody about it on that video, I was remembering back to make out sessions, to 4-hour conversation in our driveway, in our vehicle, and nobody home. We could have gone inside. But we kissed and we talked and we made out and we just literally no sex.
Because that's how you grew up.
Spending
time
together.
That's how you got to know each other, right? You always revert to how you started. If the night you met you had sex, that's probably how you're gonna do it. That's probably how you're gonna rotate it out. But if you started in a truck, if you started in a car making out, that's probably how you're gonna go forward too. I think it would be really, really hard to start with sex right off the bat and then back off to making out in the car.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be hard to rewind. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible to do it.
Will you repeat what I said? It's not, nothing is impossible if two people want to do anything, they can.
I mean, I know people that have done that. They started off hot and heavy like that and then tried to rewind and get to know each other and take some of that hot, heavy chemistry, you know.
Did it work?
Take that love bombing out of it and
did it.
Slow it down. Yeah. For some, it did. For some, it happened.
It'd be hard to go backwards. It's like uninventing the wheel. I think that triangle worked better. Give me that triangle. Let's do it. All right, Lee, we're coming up on an hour. I got to go this time. Thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for sharing your story.
Yep.
And we can do this anytime you like.
Thank you. Sounds good. I wish I could have seen. Oh, have a great night, Amy. Sorry, I didn't. I was having trouble seeing all the comments because my eyes are old.
My glasses.
And I'm not wearing my glasses. Head. Oh, wait. Where'd I get? I have
huge behind the eye headache.
Well, and I have.
I started trying to make some custom advertisements for my customers today, and I remembered how much I suck at Photoshop and Adobe and doing all that shit. God dang it, I suck at that. And the frustrations came out. It was almost like I was in 2014 again. All right. Well, thank you very much. This has been Conversational Romance. We've got just about an hour. Surely we'll cut it down to some 40 minutes just to make me a liar. I know how she does it. But we do this. Yeah,
thank you, Shirley, for everything you're doing.
We do this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We don't always have guests as good as this, but sometimes we do. Sometimes we get lucky. And sometimes you don't have to listen to me bullshit. That's what's good about being a podcast. You can pick and choose. You don't have to catch it live like we did in the 70s with Roots and the Thornbirds and things like that. Yeah, it was.
Hey,
the
Thornbirds or Roots? I like the Thornbirds more.
Think about that time
in
the late 70s, early 80s. I don't know about you, but my parents made me sit down and watch Roots. I had to.
Oh.
They were whipping the shit out of me. That was not something for a person in third grade to watch. But then we had to watch Thornbirds, and I'm like, why is that priest doing? Oh, that priest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was human.
Thank you very much, Missy. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Shirley. Good luck with the parole hearing tomorrow. I hope it works out well. Right? Yeah. Shirley, yeah. She's a wild card. This has been Conversation Romance, everybody. We do this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Usually we have better music, and I don't have a headache, but either way, thank you very much. We'll talk. Don't go anywhere, Missy. We can still be here. We're just going to stop recording. Y'all have a great day, a great night, whatever time you listen. And remember, as much as we look for happiness in external sources, I do the same, man. I got weed, I got alcohol, I got women, whatever it is. The only way you're going to really be happy is if you sit with yourself and you be still. Good night, everybody. All right, give us a couple seconds. Night.